the lies of the third temple, bar 94. I'm Professor Hannes Redelgeis of the First Assembly of Yafashua, South Africa, Victoria, Montana. Should you require any of the books which are written, or maybe the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rotterdam version, the one that was translated by Dr. Joseph Briant Rotterdam in 1860, please contact us at my WhatsApp number 0722-367-124, and that's of course plus 27 international code. Or just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. This is the first time that you are to participate in the study. You are very, very welcome. Please go to part one, start from the beginning, because you have missed quite a bit of information. And believe me, you have missed a lot of information. It's very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the notification of all the other studies that we are currently busy with. Please send this link to your friends and family. Make sure that you at least have a 1611 King James Bible ready, a pen and a writing pad. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. This is becoming very, very, very interesting. I trust that the study will be a blessing unto you in the name above every other name, the name Yafashua. Hallelujah. Alright, we continue with the researcher, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, and they are making the following statements. It is generally thought that sacrifice of lives were among the earliest of most profound expressions of the human desire to come as close as possible to God. Now they write word, now they write God, G-O-D. Now they don't have a problem. G-O-D. Now you see God. While in English, the verb to sacrifice means to make sacred. I'm going to say it away. While in English, the verb to sacrifice means to make sacred. The Hebrew word for sacred, korbajan, korban, is from the same root as to come near or to approach. Sacrifice do indeed present an essential something in moral problem to many modern Jews who are unavailable to aversion being spiritually uplifted at the sight of slaughtering animals, spilled blood and burning incense. Yet, with all the reservations prophets, rabbis and philosophers have expressed about sacrifice, they are indispensably an integral part of Torah legislation. Of what? Of Torah legislation. But you were talking about the Talmud. Now you're talking about the Torah. Where have you found the Torah now? As well as Jewish history in the first and second temples, and are included in Jewish aspirations concerning the third temple. For those speedy rebuilding Jewish prayer daily according to their traditional prayer book. The Jerusalem Post report. The modern Jews found it difficult to face the building obligation to rebuild the sanctuary combined with the great dreams linked with it. It has suppressed the demands they make on him. He was hesitated to use the religious language to describe the historic returns to Zion and the national sovereignty. There are indeed a few expectations to this, as for example the Third Temple. Once used by Ben-Gurion, G-U-R-I-O-N, Ben-Gurion, or the excessive use of prophetic terminology to the integrating of the exile during the years of Mass Eliwa. Far beyond the formal commandment, the yearning to behold an actual concrete expression of central religion, a national focus point, permits all Jewish history. Another argument is that the rebuilding, as postulated by Masonites, requires a certain order of events. 1. Coming to the land. 2. Appointing of a king from the house of David. 3. Blotting out the discredence of Elimelech, and only then, 4. The building of the temple. I'm going to read them again. Another argument is that the building is postulated by Manians requested in certain order of events. That's the guys that wants to build the temple. 1. Coming to the land, which had happened, they came back in 1948. 2. Appointing of a king from the house of David, hasn't happened. Blotted out the descendants of Amalek, and only then 4. The building of the temple. The counter argument claims that while this is indeed the ideal order of events, the events themselves are not necessarily mortally independent, and one must carry with whichever is possible at the time. So you can do whatever you need to do at the time. There don't need to be a certain order. Time magazine observed. Next week, Israel's Minister of Religion Affairs will sponsor a first ever conference in temple research to discuss whether contemporary Jews are obligated to rebuild the temple. However, several small organizations in Jerusalem believe the question is settled. They are seriously making preparations for the new temple in spite of the doctrinal obstacles and the sentimentally of the promoting Muslim fury. 2 Talmudic schools locations, two Talmud schools located near the Western Wall, are teaching nearly 200 students the elaborate details of temple service. Other groups are researching the family lives of Jewish priests who alone may conduct sacrifice. How do they determine who is in the right bloodline? If after 2,000 years of being exiled into Europe, 70 AY, Titus, came and he burned down the temple in Jerusalem and demolished the building and the city and the walls. Then Islam came and Islam built the Dome of the Rock. Then in 1948, the Israelites came back. These Israelites that came back, or Jews, I want to use the word Jews, the Jews that came back, they were surrounded on the earth. They were living in different cultures. Some of them were Germans. Others of these Israel Jews were in Russia, Orthodox Russian churches, and suddenly when the borders opened to Israel in 1948, everybody flooded back there, thought he was an Israelite or a Jew. So how did they keep record of their bloodlines for 2,000 years? Or let me say other words, 1,900 years. How? Who kept a record of bloodlines? There was a thing that I read on internet about the bloodlines, where there was an advertisement through this Temple Institute. Anybody in the world that thinks this might come from the bloodline of Levi, or Moses, or Aaron, can apply to become a priest or a high priest. They said, and then a black man from Africa applied, because he could prove that his bloodline comes from Aaron. And they accepted him. And I'm not talking politics here. They accepted him And they invited him to come to Jerusalem to be trained as a priest of a high priest. And I mean, that will work. Because throughout the work today, you have to include black people as well in certain organizations and denominations and Hollywood and wherever. He's there. In South Africa, it's called affirmative action, where the black guy must have 50% of your business shares. Otherwise, you can't get government contracts. This thing is happening all over the world. So I'm just using the example. They take whoever they think. If you think you come from a certain bloodline, you don't need to prove it. You just need to think it. And this is what they say here. They say, no group is more zealous than the Temple Institute, whose spiritual leader, 50-year-old Rabbi Israel Ariel, was one of the first Israel troopers who reached the Mount in 1967. Autar states that the extensive American-born director, Zeev Golden, is to advance the cause of the temple and prepare for its establishment, not just talk about it. Getting serious, eh? One difficult is the requirements that the priests purify their bodies with the cremated ashes of an unblessed red heifer before they enter the temple. Following a go-ahead from the Chief Rabbinites Institute, operatives spent 2 weeks in August scouting Europe for heifer embroideries that will shortly be implanted into cows at an Israel cattle ranch. That's to breed heifers, the red bulls. But historian David Solomon insists that a new temple is essential. It was the essence of our Jewish beginning, the undefying force of our people. But sooner or later, in a week or a century, it will be done. And we will be ready for it. He adds quite quickly, urgently, every day's delay is a stain on our nation. There were more expressions of Jewish desire to build upon the Temple Mount during 1990. We're now in 2024. There's still no third temple. According to the tradition, no Jews may step foot on the site of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. But this week, leader Israel Rabbi, including the former Ashkenazi Chief Rabbi Solomon Gorion, ruled that while Jews may not step on holy soil, they are obligated to pray at the sanctuary to be established adjoining the site of the Holy of Holies. The ruling touch of a stone in Muslim circles. Privileged Jews have been forbidden to even enter the Temple Mount. Muslims were allowed total control of the area. The Temple Mount includes the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. According to Rabbi Gorion, in 1967, survey of the Temple Mount showed the exact location of the First and Second Temple, as well as the site of the Ark of the Covenant. You're talking a lot of rubbish. You're telling lies. Because you don't have a sight of the Ark of the Covenant. This was actually one of the biggest lies that was kept secret for 500 years. Why? Because Israel was captured by Nebuchadnezzar in 570 before Yahushua, BY, for 70 years, and then they were released, where they rebuilt the temple and the city. Rebuilt the temple in 49 years, and rebuilt the city in 434 years. So, when Yahushua died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil torn from the top to the bottom. It's all open like that. Not from the bottom up, from the top to the bottom. Why did it open from the top to the bottom? In order to show that there's no earthly man that can tore the veil from the top. It was Yahweh himself that opened the veil from the top to the bottom, which was separating the holiest from the holiest of holiest. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop right here. Because tomorrow morning, I need to discuss this further with you, which is so important to know. Till tomorrow morning, Maranatha, Yahushua is coming back again. Hallelujah.